So 61% of construction firms are just throwing money at AI right now.
Oh, totally.
But here's the terrifying part that's, you know, hiding in the data. Only 22% actually know what they are doing with it.
Yeah, that's a massive blind spot.
Today, we are looking at why buying an AI tool might just be the absolute fastest way to break your business. Well, unless you fundamentally change how you operate first.
Right, because people are treating AI like a magical software patch, you know, like it will somehow organize a chaotic company. But in reality, deploying AI into a messy environment just gives you a highly efficient engine for generating even more chaos.
Exactly. And that modern frustration is probably exactly what you, listening right now, have been feeling. I mean, you're bombarded by the deafening noise of AI promises, yet you're still drowning in the exact same manual tasks you were doing, like, 5 years ago.
Work hasn't changed at all.
No, it really hasn't. So our mission for this deep dive is to cut entirely through that hype. We've got a really great stack of sources today, a heavily detailed presentation deck, and some fascinating workflow maps from Structured Layer, created by their founder and CEO, Usman Yusof.
It's a very practical
It
methodology.
really is. We are going to extract the practical, step-by-step path for taking a business from wild, unreliable AI experiments into controlled, highly reliable AI operations. Okay, let's unpack this, because looking at the AGC 2026 outlook and the BST Global 2026 data, the contrast is just stark.
Oh, absolutely.
You have their 61% eagerly investing, running headfirst into an implementation gap where only 22% feel highly prepared. It's like buying a massively powerful sports car without knowing how to drive a manual transmission.
That's a great way to put it.
The investment is there, but the readiness to operate it is totally absent.
Right. And what's fascinating here is how the source material diagnoses the root cause of that gap. There is a direct quote from the deck that honestly should be framed on the wall of every executive's office.
Oh, I know the one you mean.
Yeah. It says, "Buying another AI tool is not a workflow."
Yeah.
When businesses make these disconnected software purchases, they aren't changing the underlying work. The manual tasks just keep repeating because the tools don't talk to each other.
Right. The visual mockups they provided illustrate this perfectly. They show this classic nightmare scenario, an inbox with 237 unread items.
We've all been there.
Right. And we aren't talking about spam emails. In construction, these are critical project data points. We are talking about submittals, RFIs, change orders, RFQs, clarifying minute details.
It's heavy, heavy information.
Exactly. When you have that level of fragmentation exporting from a spreadsheet, re-entering into a bid portal, saving a PDF locally, it's just pure chaos. Businesses don't need more AI noise. They need trusted records.
And this is where we have to understand the mechanics of why AI actually fails in this setting.
Okay, lay it out for us.
So, if you unleash a large language model into an inbox with 237 unread project emails, it doesn't intuitively understand the hierarchy of your business.
Right.
An LLM works by predicting the next most likely word based on the data it's trained on and the context it's given. If you feed it a messy inbox, it flattens
It
everything.
doesn't know who is who.
Exactly. It doesn't know that an email from the lead structural engineer overrides a casual comment from a junior architect.
I see the logic, but let me push back on behalf of anyone listening who might be thinking, wait, isn't AI supposed to just figure this out for us?
It's a common misconception.
Right, because we are buying these massive billion-parameter models specifically so we don't have to manually sort our inboxes or map out our dependencies. Why are we paying for advanced tech if we still have to do the groundwork?
It's a completely fair question,
Sure.
but it fundamentally misunderstands how enterprise AI functions.
Oh, so.
An AI model might have incredible reasoning capabilities when it comes to language, but it
Yeah.
has absolutely zero contextual awareness of your company's internal risk tolerance or your governance structure or legal obligations.
It's basically flying blind.
Exactly. If you just give it an inbox and say, you know, sort this out, it will make assumptions. And in construction, an assumption about a load-bearing concrete spec or a change order approval can cost millions of dollars, or worse, compromise the safety of a structure.
Wow, yeah.
The AI doesn't know the gravity of an RFI, a request for information, unless you tell it the rules.
Which means the logical first move for any company isn't to pick a software vendor. It's to choose the workflow itself.
Bingo.
The methodology here insists that you start with the work, not the tool. You have to actively decide what is worth improving and crucially, what must actually require human approval.
Yes, and they provide a very specific framework for making those decisions, which they call the decision matrix.
Let's get into that.
You don't just look at a department and say, you know, let's automate this. You bring one broken workflow to the table and evaluate it against five strict criteria.
Okay, what are they?
Value, complexity, risk, review effort, and dependency.
Let's break that down, because I was looking at the workflow maps for things like RFQ and inbox intake, or, quote, comparison between different trades.
Yeah, those are prime examples.
When a team sits down with this decision matrix, how are they actually weighing something like review effort against risk?
Well, think about a document check or a permit submission. The review effort might be incredibly high. I mean, humans are spending hours cross-referencing basic compliance checkboxes.
Right, which sounds awful.
It is, and that makes it a great candidate for automation. But you have to balance that against risk.
Ah.
If the AI hallucinates a compliance check and submits a faulty permit, what is the legal fallout for the firm?
It could be devastating.
Exactly. The decision matrix forces teams to map out these boundaries before writing a single line of code. You are looking for a task that is bounded enough to control, but tedious enough that automating it provides massive value.
Here's where it gets really interesting, though, because mapping those boundaries is intense.
It's a lot of work.
It really is. In these source documents, they map out email inputs, work in progress states, governance boundaries, and specific outputs. It's essentially telling the AI, here is the exact input you are allowed to look at, here's the person authorized to approve it, and here's the precise output you are expected to produce.
You are basically creating a steering wheel and a set of brakes for the AI engine.
I love that analogy.
Reliable AI requires bounded tasks and named owners. Without an explicit governance boundary dictating who is allowed to authorize a specific action, the AI is essentially operating in the dark.
But defining those rules is completely useless if the AI is reading garbage data.
Garbage in, garbage out.
Exactly. Which brings us to arguably the most critical bottleneck for businesses today. Making the business information usable before you introduce the automation.
Yes, structured layer calls this the prepare phase.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, this is where that 22% of prepared firms separate themselves from the rest of the pack. You have to establish connected records.
It's foundational.
You need to ensure you have the most current documents, define clear ownership, and secure approved access.
And the sources provide a really illuminating real-world example of this with a hypothetical scenario called Project 25 King Saint.
Right, the King Saint example.
It really brings the concept of usable information to life.
Yeah.
On Project 25 King Saint, you have all these disparate pieces of complex information.
Stuff scattered everywhere.
Exactly. There is a BIM execution plan. There are architectural drawings. Specifically, they highlight a drawing labeled A2001.
Right.
There are structural RFIs, like RFI0142, and commercial contracts, like SC005.
Now, consider how those documents usually exist in the real world.
It's usually a mess.
Right. In a typical firm, the contract is locked in a legal drive, the drawings are sitting in a third-party bid portal somewhere, and the RFI is buried in a project manager's email thread.
And what the prepare phase demands is that you connect all of those diverse files into a single, clear document register.
But the mechanism here isn't just, like, dumping them into a massive shared folder.
No, not at all. It's about attaching vital, non-negotiable metadata to every single item. So for drawing A2001, it's not just a PDF file anymore.
Okay.
It is tagged with a specific version number, a specific status like current, and crucially, a named human owner.
Like an actual person responsible for it.
Yes. The sources list M. Chen as the owner for that drawing. Meanwhile, RFI0142 is marked closed and owned by T. Nguyen.
To understand why that metadata is so critical, you have to look at how modern AI agents actually retrieve information.
Right. This is where the tech comes in.
When an LLM looks for an answer, it often uses a system called Retrieval Augmented Generation, or RDAG. It searches your database for documents related to the user's prompt.
And if you just give it raw files without metadata.
Exactly. An outdated contract from 3 years ago might seem just as textually relevant to the AI as the amended contract signed yesterday.
It's like taking an encyclopedia, ripping all the pages out, shuffling them, and handing them to someone.
Wow, yeah.
They can read all the words, but the relational context, what came first, what overrides, what is entirely destroyed.
That is an excellent way to visualize the mechanism.
By tagging drawing A2001 as current and giving it a named owner, you are giving the AI its operating rules.
It knows what to trust.
When it goes to draft a response to a new structural inquiry, it isn't guessing which file to use. It has the right context and the source evidence baked in.
This completely reframes the whole concept of AI hallucinations in an enterprise setting.
It really does.
Because hallucinations usually aren't the AI suddenly forgetting how to speak English or, you know, just losing its mind. They happen because the model was fed conflicting, unstructured, or outdated context and desperately tried to make sense of it.
Yeah, it's trying to connect dots that shouldn't be connected.
By structuring the data and defining the owners first, you eliminate the primary root cause of the failure.
Precisely. You are giving the system a sterile environment to operate within.
Okay, so once that environment is sterile, we've chosen a bounded workflow using the decision matrix, we've mapped the governance, and we've organized the Project 25 KingSaint data into a connected register with clear metadata.
We've done the hard prep work.
The next phase is where we finally let the AI into the room. But the methodology here is incredibly restrained. You don't just roll the AI out to the whole company.
No. You test one AI task before committing to production.
Restraint is definitely the operative word.
You use representative cases to rigorously measure quality, cost, failure rates, correction time, and the human review effort required.
And we actually get a fantastic look under the hood of what a real pilot evaluation looks like in the sources.
The RFQ test.
Yes. They detail an RFQ evaluation test. They didn't just turn on a chatbot and hope for the best. They ran 12 specific controlled test cases for evaluating requests for quotation.
They tested complex packages, too. Things like an electrical package and a concrete package.
That's simple stuff.
No. And they tracked every single metric to see how the AI handled parsing their requirements, comparing the numbers, and generating an evaluation.
The results they recorded are really telling. Out of the 12 cases, they achieved an 83% pass rate.
That's pretty high for complex data.
Meaning 10 out of the 12 RFQs were processed perfectly by the AI. But what stands out to me in the data isn't just the 83% pass rate. It's that they explicitly measured the average review time.
Yes.
It took an average of 18 minutes per case for a human to review the AI's work.
This raises an important question. How do we interpret that 18 minutes?
Right.
Because to some executives, hearing that a human still has to spend almost 20 minutes reviewing an automated task might sound like a failure.
They want it to be instantaneous.
Exactly. But in complex construction bidding, 18 minutes to verify a highly detailed concrete package is a massive victory compared to the hours it would take to build that evaluation from scratch.
I'd actually argue that the 18 minutes is the most important metric on the page.
Why is that?
Because it proves the human hasn't been removed from the loop, which leads directly into how they handle the cases that didn't pass.
The failures.
Right. Because in that RFQ test, 2 out of the 12 cases failed the initial AI evaluation and required human intervention. That 17% failure rate is just the reality of AI. It is not, and likely never will be, 100% perfect in complex environments.
And that reality dictates the architecture of their implementation pipeline. It is intentionally strict.
How does it flow?
It moves linearly. Approved context, then the AI task, then validation, and finally human decision. The human is always the ultimate authority. At the end of the line, a person must click proceed, revise, or stop.
So the AI is doing the heavy lifting of reading the specs and parsing the tabular data, but the human is steering the ship.
Exactly.
And that philosophy is fully realized in this AI operations dashboard they've mapped out. This blew my mind a little bit, to be honest.
It's very different from a standard AI interface.
It looks nothing like the chat interfaces we are all used to. It's a management console for a digital workforce. It literally tracks things like MTD spend, month-to-date spend. In their mock-up, it shows a spend of $18,540.
Treating the AI like a vendor is a profound shift in mindset.
A vendor, wow. That makes sense.
You aren't just paying a flat subscription fee. You are measuring the compute cost of running these automated tasks against the human hours saved. It forces the business to constantly justify the ROI of the automation.
But the dashboard feature that I found most compelling is the recovery log.
Yes, the error handling.
If the AI fails, the system doesn't just crash silently and leave the team wondering what happened. The dashboard explicitly logs the mechanism of failure. For example, it lists a parsing failure on a spec review.
Let's explore why a parsing failure happens on a spec review, because it highlights exactly why this operational structure is necessary.
Okay, lay it on us.
Construction specifications are often deeply complex PDFs filled with tabular data, merge cells, nested clauses.
They are a nightmare to read, even for humans.
Exactly. When an LLM tries to read a complex table, it often loses the relationship between a column header and the data in the rows below it.
Oh, I see.
It extracts the text but loses the geometry of the table, leading to a parsing failure.
And when that happens, the system in the mockup shows that it automatically reran the task with a fallback method.
It tries to fix itself.
Maybe it switched to a different OCR model specifically trained on tabular data, or used a different prompting strategy. But if that fallback still can't resolve it, the system routes the exception strictly to a human approval queue.
That exception handling that routing mechanism is the entire difference between an AI experiment and a reliable AI operation.
That makes total sense.
In a wild experiment, a parsing failure means a broken script, a stalled workflow, and some frustrated project manager having to call IT.
Right.
In a controlled operation, a failure is an expected, logged event that is automatically routed to a designated human keying, maybe the pre-construction manager or a tech lead to resolve manually.
You are building a system that knows exactly what to do when it gets confused.
Yes.
And when you look at the business outcomes they claim are possible, when you put all this together, choosing the workflow, preparing the metadata, strictly testing, and handling exceptions, the numbers are staggering.
They really are.
They cite cycle time going down by 32%, cost predictability increasing by 21%,
and
rework, which is basically a swear word in the construction industry, going down by 41%.
Those metrics represent a complete transformation of a business's margin. A firm that can predict its costs 21% more accurately and slash rework by over 40% isn't just more efficient. They're going to consistently outbid and outprofit competitors who are still digging through 237 unread emails to find the latest drawing revision.
I do have to play devil's advocate on those numbers, though.
Okay, go for it.
A 41% reduction in rework is a massive claim. When I see a number like that, I have to ask how much of that reduction is actually the AI catching errors or optimizing schedules versus the team just finally being forced to organize their files, name their owners, and lock down their governance.
That is a very fair point.
I mean, if you force a messy company to perfectly organize Project 25 Kingsay before the AI even touches it, they're going to see a massive drop in rework anyway, right?
It's an incredibly astute observation. And the reality is that it's a symbiotic relationship.
How so?
The promise of AI acts as the catalyst. It forces businesses to finally undertake the data hygiene and workflow mapping they should have been doing for the last decade.
Right, they finally have a reason to do it.
The AI then acts as the enforcer, operating strictly within those new, clean boundaries at a speed humans just can't match. You can't separate the two. The discipline required to implement the AI is half the value of the AI itself.
Okay, let's take a breath and pull this all together.
Good idea.
We started by looking at that massive gap in the industry. 61% investing, but only 22% actually prepared to integrate it. We explored the chaos of the unstructured inbox and learned that to bridge the implementation gap, you have to move away from isolated software purchases.
You have to focus on workflows.
You do that by fundamentally shifting your approach.
Yeah.
First, by using a decision matrix to choose a bounded workflow and define your governance rules. Second, by obsessively preparing your data, attaching metadata, version control, and named owners to every RFI and drawing so the AI has a sterile environment.
The prepare phase.
Exactly. And third, by testing in a highly controlled way, utilizing an AI operations dashboard that logs costs, tracks parsing failures, and routes exceptions directly back to human authority.
Which brings us back to the core lesson.
So what does this all mean for you? It means the goal isn't to chase the next big language model announcement or buy another tool just to say you have it. It means looking at your operations and realizing that before you can automate the work, you have to actually define the work. It's about taking one broken process and fixing it properly.
I think that captures the operational necessity perfectly, but analyzing this entire methodology, particularly structured layers, heavy and necessary emphasis on keeping humans as the ultimate authority and routing the complex exceptions to the team, well, it leaves me with a very provocative thought about the future of the construction industry as a whole.
Oh, where does this lead us in 10 years?
Think about the natural progression of this system.
Mm-hmm.
If a firm successfully builds these highly reliable AI operations where the system flawlessly handles all the standard document intake, the routine quantity takeoffs, the straightforward submittal reviews, and the basic, quote, comparisons,
yeah,
it leaves the humans to only deal with the flagged exceptions.
Right, the weird complex anomalies that the system couldn't figure out, like that 17% from the RFQ test that failed.
Exactly. So the question we have to grapple with is this: if the AI is doing all the routine foundational work, will future construction professionals actually need to be vastly more experienced than they are today just to possess the deep institutional knowledge required to solve those bizarre anomalies?
Oh, wow. I see where you're going with this.
Historically, junior estimators and project engineers learn the ropes by doing the routine work. They learn what a good submittal looks like by processing 1,000 standard ones.
They put in the reps.
Right. If the AI operations dashboard handles the 1,000 standard ones, where does the junior team member get the repetitions required to eventually become the senior leader who can resolve a complex parsing failure on a multi-million dollar spec review?
That is a fascinating paradox. We are building systems that require experts to manage the exceptions while simultaneously automating away the very tasks that create the experts in the first place.
It's a real dilemma.
It's something every firm pushing to be in that prepared 22% is going to have to solve very soon.